Chile and the Champ with Goo Hefner, back from assignment.
What up, everyone? Welcome to another great episode of Chile and the Champ. I am your host, the Chile, along with the people's champ.
Pow wow, baby.
And the homie, Goo Hefner.
Well, hello.
Man, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today, man?
Great. Texans won. Astros lost. So,
It's a tough one, man.
We stole one.
Yeah, we stole one. We stole the home field advantage. So
they say game one is the most important. So
yeah,
We stole one and we gave one away.
Yeah, we definitely gave that one away. Game two, we gave it away.
Does anybody have any background on Gerrit Cole's history in the playoffs?
Who's that?
This is his first time. He's our starting pitcher.
He was with the Pirates last year, I think.
He pitched
playoffs.
Great during the post. I mean, during the regular season, he was probably at one point he was even better than Verlander, but he fucking sucked yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Man. He didn't abnormally suck. He sucked like making bad throws at first base, like errors. Yeah. You know, and then Maldonado, he fucking couldn't catch. That's our catcher.
Yeah.
He had on one play, a guy went from first to second on a pass ball, second to third on a pass ball, and scored on a pass ball. Three pass balls in one fucking inning.
Wow. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Bro.
I've never in my life seen that, bro. I've seen a pass ball with a run on third.
Damn.
But not, he walked to get to first base, pass ball, got to second. Pass ball, third. Pass ball, he scored. They didn't get one hit that inning and scored a run.
Shit.
Let me ask you this, good. Do you think that's like a mental errors? Like it's
in
his mind?
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, because see what they're trying to do.
And for the listeners, a pass ball is basically you're throwing to first base and it goes over first base and hits the dugout. Or you're throwing to home plate and the catcher misses it, or you just throw a wild pitch, basically.
Yeah.
But so you can either get a wild pitch if the person scoring it says, okay, that's the pitcher's fault that the ball got past the catcher, then it's a wild pitch. If they say, well, the catcher should have had that, then that's a pass ball.
Okay.
All right. So what happened was he kept getting, you know, he had pass balls, man, which was terrible. You know, and I just think he was just trying. He looked lazy, man.
He was just nervous probably, man.
But see, that's why we brought him in, because he can't hit for shit. You know what I'm saying? He's not a very good hitter. So our catchers aren't. Here's the thing. Out of all the catchers we have, he's probably the worst hitter. But he has the best arm.
Right. So what happened to Gattis?
He's on the bench because Maldonado's. Gattis can hit.
Yeah.
But he can't throw anybody out. And Gattis was also our.
Well, he was our catcher last year, right?
McCann was Gattis, a catcher, right? Yeah.
So what happened to them? They just said, okay, we're gonna bring Maldonado. He's the best at that position.
Well, yeah. Or? See, the reason they're catching Maldonado is because if McCann or Gattis are catching, if anybody else is catching on the Astros roster, if guy gets on first base, they're going to steal second.
Yeah.
Because they can't throw worth the shit. Maldonado, he can throw. He's the best. So it's kind of like you got to either choose. Either you're taking offense or defense. Because he's the worst hitter.
Right now, we'll take the defense.
Last night, he fucked us over. That's what they were saying. You're not here to hit. AJ Hinch said, I know, basically, in so many words, man, I know this motherfucker can't hit. If he does get one or two hits, man, that's a plus for me. I'm not expecting for him to hit. I just need him to be a professional behind that plate, call the games, catch the ball, keep runners on base. You know what I'm saying? But he fucked us last night. So I'm kind of curious to see if he – because he's had – in this one series alone, I think he's had like four pass balls, man.
Well, we'll put it to you this way.
When Verlander pitched, he had one.
Right.
They scored a run.
Yeah.
They scored a run on a pass ball and Verlander pitched.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give him one game. If he does that next game, then he's got one more.
Eventually, man, they're going to just say, fuck it. Like, shit.
Put the other ones back in.
If you're
giving those free runs like that, we take a chance with the other ones that, you know.
Because at least they can. The only thing is they hit, man, I don't know. It's just a lesser two evils, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know.
It ain't over, though. It ain't over.
Nah, it's not.
But Chila, let me talk about something that you invested in, man.
What's that?
Pornhub?
Yeah, I know.
Pornhub, bro.
What happened? What happened?
Nah, I'm just fucking. No, oh. the Texans, man.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah.
2 weeks in a row, 3 weeks they've won now, right?
Well, this week we didn't go to overtime, so that was a good thing.
Right,
finally. Yeah. Thank you.
So let me ask you this. In your honest opinion, not Chile the fan, Chile the Texan, super Texan.
What's up?
But Dallas Cowboy game, one shit to brag about.
No, it's just a personal victory for us to have over Dallas.
Yesterday, man.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that? Because basically the defense won the game. The offense sucked as usual. I'm going to tell you something I did not know. I did not know J.J. Watt was leading the NFL in sacks.
Yeah, he had like...
I didn't know that either.
He had seven.
He had seven.
And now he has eight, I think.
I don't know.
I think he had one yesterday. He had one yesterday.
Yeah, so he's the NFL sack leader.
Him and his brother. Congrats. Him and his brother are like...
TJ Watt is a beast, too.
They're both going at it.
TJ Watt is definitely a beast.
Well, they had one of the Cowboys players was the one leading in sacks.
Khalil Mack isn't anywhere near?
No.
Really?
Okay. He had a great first week, though.
Yeah.
But since then, he's still doing great, though.
He's doing good for the Chicago Bears, whatever it is, allowing all the players to shine because all the focus is on him. So that's why you brought Khalil Mack in there. But I think one of the Cowboys, either linebacker or defensive end, had five or six sacks last week. And then J.J. tied him, and T.J.'s been going at it. And now J.J. Watt's the one leading. I got scared for a little bit because J.J. Watt went out for the game.
Yeah.
I saw that. Is that when he tried to make a tackle but missed it?
I don't know.
Hurt his arm?
I was in my truck driving, so I was listening, but I didn't see it. But I heard that he was out, and I was kind of worried because I was like, oh, crap, don't let it be his back. Please don't let it be his back.
Oh, no, it was his arm.
Yeah, he went back in, so that was good. But I'll tell you what, though, as a fan, I could care less how we win. A win is a win, bro.
That's how
a win is a win.
See, I don't look at it like that.
No, but see, you're looking at it from the stat point. We looking like shit and all this.
You know what? This is what it is. Chile is living in the moment of celebratory. We won. Let's just be happy we won. Goo, you're looking long term like, yeah, we won, but we barely squeaked by an overtime victory to a sorry team. So, you know, you're looking at it like long term. Like,
right.
I think
if we win next week like this, I'll say, all right, maybe we're on to something.
Yeah, it's one thing if you beat the Patriots like this. It's another thing if you lose.
Exactly.
If you win by three to a team that's 1-3.
Well, I'm more concerned about Watson's health than anything.
I think that's what the problem is. I think we need to get.
He's going
to
die, bro. He's going to die on the football
field. Bro, he's playing with a collapsed lung?
Dude, and that's what people didn't know. We knew he was hurt from the Cowboys game.
Well, he's smoking with a collapsed lung.
Yeah, because he took those four hits when he was trying to score the touchdowns. And I mean, he had
partially collapsed lungs and bruised ribs, as well as a chest something.
I mean, and you can still throw the ball like 30, 40 yards.
But I ain't gonna lie, man. You know, I'm like, Ben Roethlisberger would play. He played with cracked ribs for like 3-4 games and was super with that flag jacket.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's ways they can play. I ain't going to make no excuses for him. He made a lot of passes that he probably shouldn't have made.
It's not about making an excuse for him, but he could have just set out.
He could have.
You know what I mean? But he didn't. He said, I want to go play. And then, you know, he gave us the best chance of winning, and we won.
And with the rule changes, you know how they're protecting the quarterbacks more. So, you know, typically in the old school days, it would have been more of a – old school meaning last year, we might be more fearful for him, but now in this new generation of NFL they protect the quarterback a little more, so you know we might have a little more confidence of him being protected.
So NFL fun facts, Osweiler started yesterday
and he won.
He had a better game than Deshaun Watson.
But you know what? I'm happy with Deshaun Watson, man. I don't care about
I still
about
rather have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, of course.
But let me tell you something.
The last three quarterbacks, they said, somebody pointed this out, the last three quarterbacks that have left Houston, I think it's
Case
O'Brien.
Keenum.
Case Keenum.
Osweiler.
Osweiler.
Hoyer.
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick.
That's who it was. Fitzpatrick. And anyway, they're saying it's the fucking system.
Yeah, it's O'Brien.
And also, you know what it is the thing about? Everybody thought because they came from that Belichick.
Right.
Bro, there has not been a coach that came out the Belichick circle that has done well.
Patricia?
Patricia? It's his first year, though. It's still his first year, and he hasn't won.
He won a few games.
But he beat
Belichick.
But
come on, man. Like, I'm talking about who's going to be there at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
I think Patricia and that dude that's with the Titans that left.
But somebody had a good point and said, well, that's because when they're coaches, they're great coaches, but Belichick only gives every coach one thing.
Yeah.
So you're only worrying about this. You're only worrying about that. That's why I'm like, well, why can't, like, why? Because is he still calling plays for us?
He's the offensive coordinator and the head coach.
He sucks, bro.
Oh, no.
He's the worst. he's got to be the worst offensive coordinator but that's, in the fucking league.
That's all ownership, though. Ownership gave him all that power.
You know what? We have a tendency to do this where I don't know what it is, if it's the owner or the GM or who is when they sometimes when they go after like a star or somebody that they deem as a, they saw him, they were caught up in the glitz and glamour of O'Brien being under Belichick. So they was like, oh, we about to have the new Patriots. Yeah, he the reason why Tom Brady was doing good. He the reason why Tom Brady was shining and why they won whatever. So they, you know, and they get so hype and caught up and buy into him being the star coach that they I don't know why they just are just oversold, overhyped on this, but come on, man. We got to do better, man. We're not gonna win nothing with this.
I blame McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, because you know, O'Brien left the Patriots and went to Penn State after that whole Paterno Sandusky and stuff. So he had a winning season with them, one season only. And they saw that and they're like, you know, that's the leader we need and blah, 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 blah.
College is way different than
the NFL. And they went and they took him from there and hired him as a Texan. Now, he's in charge of player personnel and coaching. So, you know, you really gave him a lot of control of everything. And that's why I was mad whenever he ran. That's the only reason I don't like O'Brien, that he's the reason Andre Johnson left. He ran Andre Johnson out of here because he went to Andre Johnson and said, all right, man, you're not number one receiver. Now you're going to get – if we throw to you, it's going to be 50% of the time we might.
Wah, wah, wah.
You know? And then he says, Hopkins is the number one. Nothing wrong with that. Don't tell him that. Just be like, all right, man, today's play, we're going to throw more to Hopkins. You know?
Right, right. They need to be between you, the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback.
Yeah, you don't freaking go and say.
Why would you even put that rift or throw that animosity in there for them to argue or whatever?
And then they're telling Andre Johnson to take pay cuts for the reason saying that, oh, we're trying to get better players so we can win.
You know what?
I'm
going to say something, bro.
Andre had enough of it. He said, fuck that.
And Andre went, and to me, he tarnished himself.
No, he didn't.
I said, to me, you can't tell me how I feel.
No, because you're thinking wrong.
In my opinion.
Shut up, Trump supporter.
I'm not going to.
Trump supporter.
Chile's mad because he can't vote, you guys. And I didn't vote for Trump. First of all, I didn't vote for anybody. All
right, go back. Really tell us why you mad, son. Tell us why you mad, son.
No, I think he fucked up when he went over there because he thought he was going to do better. Bro, he had one.
Yeah.
That shit ruined
him. Honestly, I wish he would have did better over there.
I wish
he
could have
showed our owner.
I think the way he left wasn't the right way.
Right, it's not the way you treat a Hall of Fame receiver who been down since he got drafted, who does so much for the community.
That motherfucker should have went to some goddamn where.
Nobody was trying to hire him, though.
Exactly. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. That's why I understand what he did for the organization. But at the end of the day, you know, bro, you're just fucking... Bro, you're just a novelty. It's like a fucking remote control. They're going to use your new remote control comes. They get, but like buying a car or whatever. You're just a rental, right? Yeah. And the players understand that. You know what I'm saying? I hated to see the way they treated him because, to be honest, I was hoping they would trade him the year before because I was like, man, I wanted, before all that happened, I wanted Andre Johnson to win
A Super Bowl,
bro.
I want him to win a Super Bowl. I didn't care who he was.
I was hoping.
I wanted him to win.
So I said, man, they should trade Johnson, find a fucking quarterback, let somebody go get a hell of a receiver, you know what I'm saying, in him, and let him win. But
the team's going to screw you. They're going to screw you out of it.
They are, but they already know that. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's like they're getting paid me. Did I feel bad that they did him that way? Absolutely. But I also think he handled it inappropriately as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and I think so. Where did he go? He went to the
Colts.
Yeah. Colts.
That's the thing that I wish he would have went to the NFC.
Man, I wish he would have went to the Patriots. To be honest,
yeah,
that'd
have been nice too. See him with a real quarterback, a real offensive coordinator, and head coach, all that.
He got to the point he wasn't even getting in the game.
Nah.
Like, and I was like, fuck, man.
But if you think about it, the quality of receivers that they had there, they should have won because they had T.Y. Hilton. They had, I think it was maybe the last year.
But I think they brought Andre in. Look, at the end of the day,
I think they brought him in just to piss us off.
Yeah.
To shit on us.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they brought him in.
We'll sign him and to fuck with the fans.
I thought they brought him in to kind of like, not piss us off, but I think they really brought him in as leader, like as a leader, to kind of show the other.
T.Y. Hilton was trying to kind of groom him,
but I don't think that shit happened. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
The good thing is, I was glad that they did sign him and he could retire at Texan.
Yeah, that was glad about that.
Yeah, that was going to be done. I just, like, look, the moral of the story is the Texans organization make the bad choices all the time. And they allowed the wrong people to make the wrong choices. Like, O'Brien, head coach, and offensive coordinator. He can't do both at the same time. You know, we know that he can't.
We have a culture of errors.
Yeah.
A culture of errors in our organization.
I'm gonna be
honest with you too. They stay making errors.
Like, I didn't like the way what's-his-name handled it either. Who? Like, Brown.
Oh, Dwayne? Because he already knew. But he already knew how the offense, the system is. He was playing the system.
Well, that's cool. If he was playing the system.
I mean, he was playing the system.
I mean, he got to a better situation.
Said,
I know that.
He said.
Hey, we miss him like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. And see, and I know they kicking themselves in the ass,
man,
right now.
Look, he said
we let go?
We traded Dwayne Brown for nothing.
Right,
that's how stupid the Texans organization is.
Like, you got that much pride?
Bro.
Come on, man. Like, well, this is business. Take the pride, put the pride aside.
I was mad that we ain't getting nothing for him.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's why I'm mad.
That's why I'm mad.
We ain't getting nothing
for him. The Texans, I'm not saying Dwayne Brown with his pride. I'm saying the Texans with their pride. Now, Dwayne Brown sitting out, holding out for more money, that's a separate issue to me.
Well, see,
but them trading him away for nothing, for a couple picks, they were like bullshit picks too. It's like, man, come on. You know you could have got better for him.
Did they even get that?
And to me, it almost seemed like they're like, hey, we want to give you this player and we just trying to dump his salary. Give us whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it was almost to me like they was like, they might have offered something and they were like, nah. Give us something worse. So it'll hurt his feelings more.
Okay, let me tell you. Dwayne Brown didn't want any more money. Let's get that clear.
That ain't
Dwayne
what he said.
Brown said, just guarantee me my 2-year contract that I got. Just guarantee me my money that I had left. Just guarantee it. That's okay, it. He was going to get that money regardless, but he just said, in case I get hurt.
But that's not what they're saying.
They're controlling online. Everything.
So where'd you get this info from?
Dude, listen to it. He even said it on the interviews.
I'm listening to interviews that they have put before. That's why I'm asking.
But he said, just guarantee me my last year. That's all he said. Guarantee me my last year money. So he said, I'm going to play regardless. I'm playing this season because he was playing the system. Just like the teams play the system, they go to players all the time and tell them, hey, if you don't take a pay cut, we're going to trade you to another team.
We never going to get. I'm going to tell you one thing about Chile.
I'm a fan of Dwayne Brown. Down that's for why I'm here.
Chile going to ride with you to the death.
But the thing is,
he going to ride. But I respect that, but we just can't talk to you about it because you're not going to give an impartial answer.
No. But I'm trying to tell you something. Listen, Dwayne Brown said on the interview, I expect to play this season.
I expect to play this season.
You know why? Because he knew that after he
had to come. How do you know he knew this?
He knew he had to come back at the 8th game or else he wouldn't get paid for the year.
That's why he came back for one game and they traded
him. That's why he kept saying, I'm going to play this season.
So do you think what's-his-name is going to come back and play?
Who?
He's not a Texan.
The Pittsburgh one?
Bell.
Yeah, nah.
I'm not Bell. Bell. It's on TV right now.
They want him. They want him to put the franchise tag on him. He doesn't want to. He wants to get paid the big time money because he says, I felt like I proved enough that I'm worth this much money.
I'm going to tell you what, though. If he does, I don't think he's.
But didn't he get hurt? He got hurt doing like a video shoot or something like that and he pulled a hamstring or something?
No, I don't think that was him.
No, it was a wide receiver.
It was a wide receiver. He was doing a.
That was our boy Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
And now he's with the Patriots.
Yeah.
So everything worked out. You know, hey, he heard himself doing the Now he's with Tom Brady. So.
Yeah. To go back to everything.
But I think they let him go more for
friend
it. He was like,
podcast.
Man, fuck that, bro.
So Dwayne Brown, the first game he came back to the Texans, he played against Seattle.
Right.
And he did good against Seattle. So basically it was like an addition.
Right.
Seattle gave us some corner in the trade that didn't even pass the physical.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it was too late because they approved the trade already. So Dwayne was already going to Seattle.
I thought he just wanted to go back to the West Coast.
No, he was trying to get his last.
Period.
Dude, they wouldn't guarantee him his last $17 million.
I got to read that.
It was $17 million?
I got to read that. Put that up so I can read it.
Man, Look, you got to do that research on your own, sir. If you're going to come, don't come half-ass prepared right here.
I'm telling you what everything is. Because you acting like you got secret. If Dwayne Brown texting you this shit,
he didn't text me that. I read it.
He read it on his phone.
Did you read it?
In the text.
Yes, I read it.
He read it on DM.
Is that what it says? See, to me, it seems like you formulated your own opinion off information.
Nah, but check this out, though. In all honesty, though, when we hear these things, we always are hearing just different sides because the team, they put out their statements or their reasoning for this and that. And then the player, he puts out his response or statement or reasoning for this and that. And of course, they're giving their sides of the story and they're probably both withholding some type of information. And there's probably, you know, think about it too. Although it is a business, this is a business that stirs up a lot of emotion, a lot of passion. So, you know, and then there's other things, outside things involved, such as protesting. So there's a lot of passions and emotions.
That had a little bit to do because
keep in mind, too, the stuff that might be involved that we don't even know about that might have happened in passing in the locker room.
That's what I'm saying.
On the field, some type of thing. And definitely how they treated Andre Johnson for sure had to be on Dwayne Brown's mind. Like, man, if they treat him like that, you know they're going to treat me like that.
Dude, Dwayne's smart, man. He knows that the business that I'm in, you know, it's like, what can you do for me today?
At the end of the day, if you're an athlete, I guess you got to get them before they get you.
Yeah, and that's really,
you're just a rental, brother.
That's what he was.
As soon as you get hurt, they don't give a shit about you.
So, but you know, but that's me being a Dwayne Brown fan, and that's how I know.
I'm fans of everybody too. It's just once they leave, if they leave on bad terms. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. Like Beverly, right?
Patrick Beverly.
To me, they're on good turn. They got rid of him.
Yeah, they did him dirty.
They fucked over Beverly.
He was defense.
He was my favorite Rocket. Patrick Beverly was my favorite Rocket.
But like, I'm going to be honest. I swear, I could never be a LeBron James fan. Ever.
But what if...
I can respect him. I can respect his game. But as far as being a fan, like, I see some people... They follow him everywhere this motherfucker goes. Right, I'm like,
now they
but he's a movement.
Like,
God damn, he's a movement, bro. Though. He's a movement.
Oh, he's, yeah.
He's a movement. He's not a, okay, so everybody's like, you know how everybody's with Jordan. Jordan this, Jordan that.
I'm never a Jordan fan. I'm going to tell you, you ask me, you know
but
what
I'm saying? But you buy the Jordan
Akeem
shoes.
Akeem Olajuwon.
Well, yeah.
Akeem. I don't wear Jordans.
You don't?
I wear Huaraches and Adidas.
And Air Max.
Air Max.
Hey, you know what, though?
Who's the Air Max guy? Is it like John McEnroe?
Somebody we don't even know.
A runner or something.
Hey, you know what's crazy? Is that it's like a thin line between, you know, because some of it from like my perspective, like, there's some players who I just love.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, I don't want them to ever retire. But then at the same time, they're taking up salary. They are taking up a position. So it's like we're too far and too early. Like, we're either too far where we hold on to these players too long or too early and we let them go too quick. It's like, it's never that just right time where they stay with us for a long time and then they retire. It's always they're staying either too long and it's like, man, we still paying them all.
Because you remember when they got rid of Dwayne Brown?
The what?
Like when they got rid of Dwayne Brown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know how many games he had went, but he had went like, it might even been a season, the seasons.
He didn't play one season when he got injured. That's about it.
No, I'm talking about when he didn't allow a sack.
Oh, yeah. He went a couple seasons without a sack.
Bro, he was going, not a game.
Imagine if we had him with Deshaun Watson right now, man.
Bro, I'll put it this way. If we had Dwayne right now,
we don't have nobody on that offensive line that could hold his fucking jockstrap, in all honesty.
Dude, Dwayne Brown... Right now,
Dwayne Brown, I'm mad at you for leaving.
Nah, I was sad that he left. But
I don't
I'm
care
happy.
Why you left.
Yeah, but you know what? If we had him right now on the line left side, you know, I honestly think Deshaun Watson would not have to worry about the blind side. You know what
because
I'm saying? He would worry about more of the right side,
and he would be right now. He got a bro. He man, listen,
he's got to run for his life. For right now.
We ran a play.
Yeah,
bro. I swear to God, I don't know. I think it was the right tackle. He looked so fucking lost, and Watson was running this way, and the man was coming right at him, and the man, and I'm like, bro, he's looking back, and the play's in front of him. I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill Watson.
But, and honestly, I don't blame the offensive linemen because it's not their fault. It's the coach's fault. They're the ones that drafted the players.
They're just not as good.
That's like you. If somebody comes up to you and offers you $5 million to stand there, Are you going to be, nah, I'm going to turn it down? Hell no. Oh, you want me to stand there? I'm going to do that. But
look here, you know, but actually, we did want to announce the Texans are holding tryouts for offensive lines on MLK at Chimichan's and
at the Golden Corral
off of Maine.
What you think this is?
Buffet.
You think this is Philadelphia Eagles and shit? Gonna do the Mark Wahlberg up in that month?
Yeah, man. Hey,
but
man.
All right, so let's so we got Texans. We hope everything goes out. Let's talk about other stuff that's dear to Paul's heart and everything. That's the music industry. So we saw that Donald Trump signed a bill to
thanks to Kanye West, baby.
Well, Kanye's getting the credit, but it was like a lot of
thank you, Kanye. Yeah, thank you.
It's a lot of artists and a lot of people behind the scenes that were involved with that, and it's been going on for years. So what it is, the bill just kind of catches up with like streaming music services and everything towards the artist gets paid. Artists, producers, anybody that played an instrument and all that.
Will they also receive back pay, Paul, by any chance?
No. Anything from 1972 till now.
Oh, so they got to get back paid in, right?
No, it starts now.
Oh, okay.
It starts.
Yeah, they don't start till 2019,
I think. Yeah, I don't think exactly.
But the music that they stream, it goes back to 1972.
Could you explain that a little bit, Paul?
First of all, there are several different parts of the act or different things involved with the act. It's something that's been going on for a long time. You know, the music industry doesn't really have too many advocates who speak up for our rights, musicians' rights, artists' rights. And I don't mean like not just necessarily financial rights, but like copyright law. Copyright law just as a whole, copyright law hasn't been changed or looked at in over 50 years. So there wasn't even the internet or iTunes or Spotify or any of these things when the last copyright laws were adjusted and amended. So, you know, it's just, you know, the laws need to catch up with the times a little bit. And of course, different people have different interests in mind. Usually it's financial interests in mind. So the people going against it are corporations who are going to have to pay out money. It's not like a lot of money. It's money based off of profit that they're making.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's just dipping into their profits a little bit. You know, there's some of it comes with the, you know, the publishing royalties and things like that, or you know, it's a lot that goes with it. The main things with the Music Modernization Act, or the MMA, is just for the streaming music, you know what I'm saying, to make it easier for you know. And I know about this because I've been doing a lot of work. Of course, I do a lot of work with the Grammys, the Recording Academy. You know, when people think about the Recording Academy, a lot of times you just think about award shows, and usually you think, oh, they got this award wrong. That's usually why.
So you are a voting member, right?
I am a voting member.
Cool.
I'm not the reason. I'm a voting member, just like you are. I'm a voting member. Look, it's not
he
like
trying to set you up.
Nah, he's gonna say I'm the reason why Fergie won or Iggy won or something. But nah, you could be a member too. You just choose not to. So actually, it's your fault that people like that are winning.
Well, I don't give a shit.
Exactly. Most people either don't give a shit or give a shit and aren't members, but they can be members. It's the same with our politics. People care or don't care, and they can vote. They just choose not
y'all
to.
Be having meetings. You got to go to meetings and shit, don't you?
Not to vote. I got to go to meetings because I'm a trustee. First of all, I'm the only rapper ever in the history.
Talk that shit.
No,
champ.
For real. I'm the only rapper ever to ever be a trustee for the Grammys. And I've been in for several years with the Texas chapter.
Boy, they got that shit wrong.
So you got to go to I'm coming in the meeting smelling like weed.
Yeah.
But you know, I do that because I'm a trustee. You got
to
go to meetings.
Okay, so what does a trustee have to do? Like, what is your responsibility with that?
We're getting way off topic. Look, to be a member of the Grammys to vote, you need to have your name on 12 credits.
Oh, yeah.
Not 12 credits with Atlantic Records. Not 12 credits with, you know, RCA. Anybody who puts any music out ever on YouTube, on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, anywhere you put out music, even if you make it on your phone and put it out, if your name was on 12 credits, you're eligible to be a member. People just choose not to be. They either don't know. I didn't know. I could have been a member since 1999, damn near. Since 2000, I could have been a member. Hmm. But I didn't know until 2007 when I got nominated for a Grammy. That's when I found out. They was like, you're not a member? You should sign up. And I'm like, damn, I could sign up? What the fuck is this? I didn't know that. So, you know, that's the problem with awards. If someone has a problem, it's usually because they didn't vote. Or they have a discrepancy. I feel like this person should have won and that person won when I feel my opinion is someone else should have won. Well, that's your opinion. But it's all based off of no one picks.
So it's not, real no one, votes. The votes, real votes are counted.
The real votes are counted 1-1. So each member can get one vote. It's not like I get more votes, more power because I'm a trustee or someone gets more votes because they're a bigger celebrity or sold more units. No, if you're a member, you get one vote. And there's about a little under 20,000 members. I think it's like 17,000, something like that, 15,000 members. Voting members is a little less because you could be a member that's not a voting member too. Like lawyers can be members, promoters can be members, you know, different people who are involved in the industry who aren't necessarily creators. But it's the people who are in the Grammys vote. So if you're a musician out there, you should join the Grammys. If you don't, then it's just like complaining about who's the mayor or who's the congressman or president when you could have voted, you chose not to.
So the Grammys and all these people have been fighting for this,
as well as several other things for a long time. Usually in D.C. in Washington D.C. That's when I went to do Grammys on the Hill. Grammys on the Hill is something that the Recording Academy does in D.C. every year. It's a 2-day event. The first day is like a dinner and concert where we, as the Recording Academy, acknowledge and kind of award different senators or congressmen, different politicians for their support in the music industry, you know, over time, you know, for that year or whatever. So, and it's usually big people, you know, like one year Joe Biden got honored when he was the vice president. No, not the lobbyists. That's what we was talking about.
That's what we were looking for earlier.
There's lobbyists for the radio stations to go out there and help
pass laws for
the radio station. There's lobbyists for like concert venues.
Yeah.
But there's not lobbyists for musicians, you know, so.
And that's why this is a big deal.
That's why it's real big. Okay. That's why the Recording Academy, the Grammys for the longest was, you know, and even now, still to this day, are as musicians, they're our biggest lobbyists to go out there and fight for laws. Also keep in mind, there are certain countries around the world who they don't reciprocate whatever royalties are supposed to be paid out because America doesn't pay out these royalties. So it's not only affecting the money that we get as musicians and artists in America, it's affecting worldwide.
Yeah.
So for instance, since there wasn't a performance royalty, there's the publishing royalty right now. When you, like, you a musician or artist, you get if your song is played on the radio, you get, it's a small amount of money that gets split up. It's called publishing. It's who wrote the song, either wrote the lyrics or wrote the musical instruments. Not who played the musical instruments, not who sung the song or rapped on the song, but who wrote whose names is in the credits. For example, if you're an artist, I don't know, if you're Beyonce and you didn't write the song, then in the credits, it's not going to have her name, Beyonce Knowles. It's going to have the credits of who wrote the song. But usually Beyonce always writes at least part of the song she sings, so her name is in the credits of all her songs. But that happens a lot of times, not typically in hip-hop, but in other forms of music. A lot of times in country music and R&B and pop, well, usually I would say country and pop, where you see it the most, where someone else, like a writer or a team of writers, write the song and then someone else sings the song. Right.
The Dream wrote
was
Umbrella.
A writer. He wrote
Umbrella. So he made like $18 million off of that.
Just off
right
there. Right. Now, if that's the case, if you're now on a song, the royalties get split up 100%, right? There's 100%.
Yeah.
First of all, whoever wrote the instrumental, they get 50% off top. The other 50% is for whoever wrote the lyrics.
Damn.
So if there's three verses and a hook, or there's four verses, or someone says something at the beginning and someone's talking, and then this is, it all gets split up and broke up different ways. But if all you had was a verse on a song, you might get 12%, something like that. So what you would have a lot of times, and this is a big part of why this got passed, is because a lot of our historical acts that came after 1972 or whatever, and some of these are artists that are still around today but are older, like
with no money, and this could be helping them. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, right. And sometimes, you know, these are people who gave their all for our art and our culture that we get to appreciate worldwide, and you know their music is still being played today. Now some people say, oh well, that's their fault, they signed off their royalties or whatever, but what about when it was at a time when people didn't have, especially minorities, didn't have as the same type of rights? No. Or could even get a lawyer to look at a contract to say, so you know, what about that? Or what about other people who, regardless, if we're sitting here enjoying this, the performance royalty is who actually sung or rapped on the song, not necessarily who wrote. So anyway, this is something that's been going on for a long time.
Yes, it has.
It's finally, and this is just a small part of it. It's still all, there's several other, first it had to get passed in the Senate, in the House, then it had to be approved by the Senate. And it's just been going back and forth for years, literally for years. And there's lobbyists for all types of other industries who are lobbying against this. A lot of radio stations are lobbying against this. A lot of people are lobbying against this because that means they're going to have to pay, or just for whatever reason. And it's not absorbing amounts of money that are going to put them out of business. It's just small amounts depending on how much money they're making. It's all profit based though. It's not.
Speaking of going out of business, man, did you see about Sears? Sears stores going, they're declaring bankruptcy.
I'm about to go get me a refrigerator.
Shit, yeah. You
know, washer dryer. I'm about to get a refrigerator, a washer dryer. What else we need from Sears?
Man,
we need
some. That, so
Snap on.
Yeah, you were saying that the reason they're declaring bankruptcy is just so they don't have to close the stores or fire anybody or anything, right?
Right. They had like, I can't remember what I saw it. It was something, it was like a million. It was a crazy amount of a loan they had to repay by today.
Oh, okay.
And since they couldn't pay the full amount, they did it. But they're not closing their stores. Any of the stores that are, they said they might close some stores that are not profitable, but the stores that are making money are still staying open.
Well, I think the reason, I don't know if it's just me or not, but when you go to Sears and you go in there, the clothes is, first of all, it's like out of style. You
right.
Know what
they, yeah, right. That's the like clothes. Shit, like, yeah, they're like clothes.
From the 50s.
It's like workers.
From the 50s.
Yeah, I see Levi's, but it's not like 501 Levi's. Nah. It's like
you see like Tommy Hilfiger, but that's the only place you can buy them. And
there's like
this.
Timberlands, but they're like the off-brand Timberland. Yeah. You know, it's like, what is going on? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, because like, I mean, you go to the hardware store and it's like, okay, you only have certain brand, you don't have all the brands. Like if you go to like a what do you call it? Like a freaking O'Reilly's Ace or O'Reilly's or something else, you know. So that's crazy, man. Hey, we gonna cut this a little short, but we gonna go with this one right here, man. I know this is very close. I don't know what the hell's going on in Dallas, man, but prayers going out to Yellow Beezy, man.
Big prayers, Yellow Beezy.
So the story, if you haven't heard, is Dallas rapper Yellow Beezy, he got That's On Me.
That's On Me, man.
That's the biggest, which I read that was the biggest hit that's come out of Dallas in a while.
Yeah, it was the number one song, yeah. I believe. It was like a lot of people were saying it was the song of the summer, not even just in Texas, but nationwide. Yeah.
So story goes that he was, you know, driving on a toll road in Dallas or whatever, and a car pulled up next to him and shot him. Like, you know, the way they described it is it was like multiple shots, more than 20 shots, you know? So he got hit, and man, he's in the hospital. Hopefully, I haven't heard anything or touched up anything, or they haven't released anything more. But he's recovering, so we're gonna send prayers out to him, man. But
definitely send prayers.
Like, you know, it's crazy, man. A lot of stuff's going on, man. It's what, like, why can't people just chill on the beef, man? That's my thing, you know.
Yeah, and it's tough to see, you know, especially what we saw with OTV Fastlane recently as well, you know, and it happened with us as well. You know, a lot of times we see this when you like hit that pinnacle where you like reaching new heights that you know, you just finally starting to break out. And I don't mean like, you know, just you got some buzz going. I mean, like really, really, really break out and do something. When you start to see that, you know, it's tough when you see something so tragic like this happening, man. You know, with Fastlane, I'm speaking, of course, rest in peace, Peanut. And now with this, you know, it's just it with Yella Beezy, man. Hopefully he'll pull through, definitely, man.
Yeah, man. We just need artists and everything, man. Remember, you can't be living the life and be an artist. You're going to have to pick, man, which one do you want to do, you know? And unfortunately, a lot of us grew up watching stuff like this. So, you know, best thoughts and prayers to everybody out there, man. You know, that's what, like, did y'all notice about that in Houston that we were having that on social media? They had the Houston beef between the old school artists and the new school artists. What the hell was that about? I mean, I just saw it.
There was no beef. I think that was just a misunderstanding.
Oh, was it? Okay, so it all got cleared out then?
I don't think it was never nothing. I mean,
they made something.
To be honest, I think something like that would never get cleared out because, you know, I mean, I think that's just a difference of opinions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We came up doing things one way. The new people are coming up doing things like another way. Like the perfect example, I had somebody call me today and was just like, man, I just want some advice and blah, 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 this or that. And he was telling me like, man, the guy, he was an older guy. You know, and he was like, bro, I've been going to the clubs, getting my song played, this, that. He said, my next step is to take it to radio.
Yeah.
So I said, well, shit, what your Instagram followers look like? And he said, man, I don't even have no Instagram.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think you have a chance of getting on radio the way everything's working now. You know what I'm saying?
Cause yeah.
Do you have SoundCloud numbers? He was like, nah, not yet, but I'm gonna put them up. I'm like, man, just cause they're playing you in the club and people going crazy. So that's just like, it's a new way to, you know what I'm saying? So I just think.
So it's a plan you got to have.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a misunderstanding. But look, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. We stay out of that, man.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, at the end of the day, man, we got families.
Oh, yeah.
We've got
Our,
Paul's career has been successful. We're doing, moving along.
You're staying on your own lane. You're not worried about everything, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but if somebody needs information, man, Paul will always talk to anybody, help anybody. I'm the same way, you know, like everybody. I mean, hell, you will talk to people.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not nothing, but I mean, can I just say, hey, snap my fingers and then put you on or put anybody on? No, I can't do that. That's impossible. So what I tell people, hey, look, I can't help you out in no way, but I can give you some advice. Maybe I can turn you on to some people who can help you out.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't even want to be, you know, I don't want to say, oh, yeah, I'll do this or that for you because
I don't have the time.
I could never, your expectations, I could never meet your expectations. And I know I couldn't, you know what I'm saying?
Because
people have high expectations. They feel they should be getting this. They feel they should be getting that. You know what I'm saying? So
it's just some people in their head, they think that, okay, my song is the hottest song out there right now, which is nothing wrong with thinking that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. But sometimes they don't think about the hard work that it takes to get to where you want to go. They just see like, okay, I'm getting good reaction and good buzz on the clubs. This has got to be in the, you know?
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't work that way.
But they get to the radio station. And then
they break you down.
They go to the station and break them down, bro. Right? Yeah.
They break them down to where they'll be like, oh, screw them, man. They just hating on me. Because I ain't paying money. They ain't going to play my song.
Yeah.
They start going, you know, they can't take creative criticism.
What they say, like, I forgot who said it. They was like, man, you got to take DJs on dates and shit now. I was like,
nah, man.
you got to take the DJs on dates and shit.
But, you know, it's just. But see, that's the people that don't know stuff, man. That, you know, they just assume by saying that. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is the occasional DJ that gets on social media and says, fuck that. Y'all motherfuckers forget. Take care of the DJ first and all this shit, you know?
See,
and those are the people that are giving the other DJs a bad name. Because, you know, you got the DJ that's established, and then you got the one that's getting on there being all loudmouth and saying, oh, man, if you want me to play your song, you got to pay me this much in the club, you know? And they mess
it
up for people.
He meant established guys. He didn't mean somebody got stabbed.
No.
You got somebody. I was like, I say established. He meant established.
Well, see, that goes back to my point that I was saying. It sounds good in the mind, but it doesn't.
Right.
Nah, but hey, end of the day, look, I wish everybody the best, much success. The more people that blow up in Houston, the better it is Houston.
When y'all win, we all win, bro. That's the way. Like, that's a mentality. Hey,
I wish I could snap my fingers and I had all the answers. I'd be a billionaire.
You know what I'm mad about you right now, though? You being a bad producer right now.
Why?
We ain't got no people's champ beer in the studios today.
Shit,
man.
You drank it all, that? Chile. Shit.
It doesn't matter. You should be
Chile
able to look.
Chile drank all the beer, and then the store we bought it from sold out.
Yeah, it been sold out.
That shit sold out. So now we sitting here assed out drinking Ozarka water.
Remember when they had the McGregor fight last week? He didn't believe. I sent y'all a text message and said I'm at Lucky's Pub West on I-10 and Barry Cypress. The table next to me is having like a duel, like they're dueling because they have.
What were they doing?
Half of half of the table was Boss Beer.
Oh,
and
dueling.
Like a fight, a little battle.
Yeah, you said they doing.
No, I'm fucking with you. You gotta get some Q-tips, man. They good, man. So you know they had it, and Gu didn't believe me, so I had to send them a picture.
But you sent me a six pack with this fucking the thing on it, and I ain't never seen no establishment that sells. Brings out six packs with the goddamn plastic shit on it.
That was just an old picture I had on there. No, but that's how they come. The plastic carriers, you know?
In restaurants and bars?
At the stores, no.
This, I know, in the stores, yeah.
He was bringing the beer from the back and putting them in the refrigerator, and I said, hey, let me get a picture of that. And okay, that's okay, the picture okay. I got. Goop,
and where is this at?
Lucky's Pub West.
Lucky's Pub West. I-10 we got to make a trip out there, Paul.
Yeah,
we
got Katie, man.
We got to go. We'll make a trip out
there. Oh, it's right off of I-10.
We'll stop by.
Yeah, remember we passed by it when you're going out like west, when you're going like towards San Antonio, it's right on the right-hand side.
It's about 20 minutes from here.
We always pass it up. We're like, damn, it's a Lucky's. Let's stop and get some nachos.
Yeah, because I think there's three, right?
Yeah, there's one downtown and one in the Heights. But
yeah, I've seen the one in the Heights.
I go to the one on
that's by your house?
Yeah. It's like right there, and it's right off the freeway. Easy access and everything. It's pretty nice too in there. So that's where I go kick it and watch like sports stuff.
So is that one nicer than the one downtown?
Oh yeah,
to you it is.
Oh yeah, way nicer.
I think from the outside it looks nicer too.
Yeah. Well, the difference you got to think about it. The one downtown is more like it's like a warehouse.
Is that the first one?
Yeah, downtown? That was the first one, and then the one in the Heights that's got. Just got rebuilt because it got flooded during the hurricane. Heard, So that one just got rebuilt, but you know.
That looked more like a pop-up shop, Lucky's.
Yeah.
Where is it at in the Heights?
On Houston?
Right around the corner from where Houston Street. Mike Frost used to live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
So, but you know, that's more for like the
Heights. Right by the smoke shop right there.
It was like in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like in the neighborhood.
Right there. And then the one on I-10 Barton Cypress, that one's nice. And, you know, it's just more chill back there, you know. Like, you could do a show there and pack it. You know, you got that much room in there and everything like that. But it's just, you know, it is what it is. And that's where I find it. And then I don't know if they're – I wonder if they had any – I went to, like, a couple IPA bars right there in Katy. And then they had an Eighth Wonder beer, and I said, hey, do you have People's Champ beer? And they said no, and then they're like,
huh. Yeah,
I was like, nah, then I don't want to drink. And they're like, oh, you got to have. I was like, dude, if you don't have it, either Boss Life or this one. And I saw
Kiki.
Getting his own beer, right?
Yeah, it's with Spindle Tap Brewery.
Oh, okay.
Though. Yeah, so that's another brewery.
I don't care. I'm supporting H-Town artists that got the beer,
shout out to all the Houston brewers. We got a lot of breweries here in Houston. Shout out to all the local breweries out here. We support all y'all, you know, so definitely support us, man. We appreciate, of course, you know, there's the different rappers. There's a lot of different rappers out here. Man, you know, we just appreciate that some of these brands, they down to support us as well. Not, you know, of course, I'm happy that I got my beer, but even before I had a beer, I was happy to see that Slim had one. I was so happy that Bun B, they got the Brew GK. I'm happy to see Spindle Tap doing that with Kiki. So I'm not really a big beer drinker, but I'm for sure buying all of that.
No, and that's awesome.
People's Champ beer, I'm for sure buying that.
And that's the thing that I like. I think that's the only reason that you hear me always talking about People's Champ beer. Not because it's your beer. Yeah, like, you know, I'm going to support your beer because you're my homie and everything. But just the fact that I see how if it's successful, people are going to start giving other artists a chance to be like, well, People's Champ beer and Boss Life beer and Brew GK was successful. Now Kiki's got his beer. Right. And that beer is successful. We all get behind Kiki's beer and everything. Then you never know.
Pokey,
ESG, Screwed Up Click beer or something like that, you know? And it's like the fact that they're embracing this makes me say they're actually embracing hip hop, like Houston culture.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what I like about it. And I think we should all support everything like that. That's if you want to, you know, we're not saying you have to, but if you drink beer, I like drinking beer. You know, if the day when I found out Paul was getting his beer, I was like, well, shit, I guess that's all I'm drinking from now
it's
on.
It's going down.
And then I've gone to Lucky's Pub West, and they had Boss Life beer on tap. And then I even posted it on my social media, and I said, oh, man, come on, give me that. And that's why I was drinking. So, you know, I'm going to support Kiki's Beer too. As much as I support Slim, the Brew GK, I haven't seen it in stores, so I think that's a seasonal too.
I think the seasonal is coming.
That's
next.
That's coming out next.
Okay, because I know they have them at Eighth Wonder Brewery. They have them on tap there.
Right.
They have them on tap there.
They have Brew GK there too.
Yeah, because I've tried it.
Oh, okay.
The ones in cans, you know, Slim Thugs is all three of ours are seasonal, but it's the Slim Thugs was first.
Yeah.
The Boss Beer, then mine was second. People's Champ Beard and Brew GK
is coming.
Bun
next.
B is coming next, and then we'll be back at it again next year. But on tap, you can still get it on tap.
Yeah, because they have it there at the brewery at Eighth Wonder, so you can just go in there. And
we gotta get on that tap at Lucky's.
Yeah,
we gotta get on tap.
They have it just in cans,
We gotta get on that tap though.
I might be able to make a phone call for you.
Yeah,
I might know somebody.
Chile gonna be like, hey, Chile, I think you might deliver the wrong one. It's half full. He was like, I don't know what you mean. You gonna be burping like, I don't know what you mean. Like, gonna be getting high off his own supply.
But you know, like, that's what, like Paul said before, ask at your store if you're looking for it. If they don't have it, ask the manager. You know, maybe that'll get you to start doing that. But I'm glad that it's going good, man. Because you know, when, like I said, man, when y'all win, we all win. You know, and that's a victory for the city, the hip hop industry. Because when did you ever think that you were gonna have a beer?
Oh, never.
No, People's Champ Beer.
Yeah,
never.
I never thought I would have my own beer. That's amazing. That's dope, man.
Because everybody's into like liquors and all this stuff, and they forget that, hey, and that's why I tell young artists nowadays, man, when they're talking about when they're talking about doing stuff, I tell them, hey, if you're gonna do a music video, don't be putting there the bottles of Ciroc, all this popular stuff. If they ain't sponsoring you, you're giving them free publicity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't give them the free publicity, because if you're trying to get that endorsement, why are they going to hire you when you give it to them for free?
Giving it to them free.
You know what I'm saying?
And you pay for that bottle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They didn't give you that bottle you put in the video.
And that's what I tell people. It's like, hey, look, if you're trying to, you got to think more, not just a music video. You got to think ahead like 5-10 years, you know, okay, I'm a brand. So I'm an artist. I got merchandise and everything, but I want to get an endorsement from these other people. I got to work and show them that I'm worth it for them, you know? But if you're just, people think that by putting the liquor bottles in their videos, you're already showing them love and they're going to come to you. They're like, nah, player. We appreciate the free advertisement, but why do we need to pay you for it?
So, yeah, right.
You know, just stuff like that, man. But anything y'all want to say before we get out of here?
Man, another thing on top of that, too, is you'll be even more messed up. You'll be fucked up. You get them a shout out in a song. You put them in a video. Then they send you a cease and desist and say, you got women that are half naked and you're smoking weed and other paraphernalia. We don't want to be associated with our brand. So take our name out the song and take our product out your video. Then it's like, damn. It's, you know, it reminds me of how we'll go to like a name brand store or go to a store and just ball out. But then if it's somebody coming out, like an up and coming t-shirt designer or a clothing brand or up and coming store or something that is just popped up locally or something that we want to hook up, even on the beers, you'd be surprised how many people hit me up, ask me about
Why you gotta call me out? I'll be telling Paul, hey, Paul, coming through the, is there any beer over there? Oh, you don't have a refrigerator yet.
Chile be like, hey, you at the studio? You at the office? I'll be like, no, Chile, we don't have any beer. yes, Chile, we got beer. Oh, yeah. That's what I mean.
I was nearby. I was just saying.
I happened to be in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I just happened to leave my house.
Well, every time we happen to be in the neighborhood, we end up about two six packs short.
What you was at over here? Oh, I just left the house and
I just went. I had to take care of some business out there, you know. So I was like, yeah, let me go see what they're doing, you know. Making sure Paul's on his game, you know what I'm saying? Make sure that he's doing his mixtapes and everything, you know what I'm saying?
Are you sure we ready?
Because we got to make sure Paul stay out there in the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So, hey, when's your mixtape coming out?
It's about to drop. It's coming soon. So, couple more weeks. Be on the lookout for that. We actually got a bunch of new stuff coming, man. You know, something called Champ Talk. You know, kind of like a greatest hits kind of thing. We got Volume 1 coming. We got a bunch of shit. Live at 5, Hall of Fame Hustler. Bunch of shit. So be on the lookout. Coming.
Mate, hey, I'm not gonna lie, and not just because I know you and everything, but I seen you hustle, man. You've been grinding on in that room right there in that studio. You've been grinding.
Yeah, thank you, man.
That's a good thing, man.
You know,
been there when he been.
Uh huh.
What?
What you say? Look at this dude got married and now he don't even know how to act.
You know? Nah, we know we're drinking the people's champ beer. Yeah. Nah, that's good drinking them beer.
He trying to blame me. Trying to blame me for drinking it all and shit.
Hey man, before we go, man, go Astros.
Yes,
Big Daddy, we need you. Big Daddy, come through.
Hell yeah. What you think tomorrow? Tomorrow's the game, right?
I got it. We got it. We back home,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we back home.
I'm going to game four. I'm going to game four. So
well, thank you for that. We don't care if you're going.
Is that an invite?
Or are you inviting us?
Is that like a public notification where you just letting the world know that Goose going to be at game four?
Listen, DM Paul.
Oh, that's dirty. You about to get your DMs going to go up. Mm. Shit. Nah, man. Hey, you know what? I just hope we win because it's good for the city, first of all. Business is going to thrive.
But, you know what? If we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. Man, we have a hell of a season. Nah, hard. It's hard to win.
Let me change that. If we win, we win. If we don't, we won last year.
Yeah, we won last year.
So we don't want to get that mentality. We want to win.
And listen, when you waited as long as we have.
Hey, but how awesome would it be that Rockets went back-to-back and the Astros go back-to-back? The Comets back-to-back-to-back-to-back?
That's the good thing.
Dynamo back-to-back?
I know, right? Every time we win, we always back-to-back.
I noticed you never said the Texans.
But we haven't.
We haven't winning back-to-back games.
But yeah, right.
We're winning back-to-back.
It's hard enough to get back-to-back winning seasons. But you know one thing, though? The one good thing about the players not being from Houston is that they're not as used to the ineptness as we are. Like, we kind of used to falling short, choking, all of that. So they not coming in here with the mentality that we won last year. They come in here, never settle. We going back for more.
Yeah.
You know, we hungry. They not, and believe me, boy, Bregman is so wired up and focused, man.
Bro,
man.
Like, I can't believe they've been walking him all this time.
They know what time it is when Big Daddy comes to the plate.
That's some whole
Big
ass
Daddy
shit.
Bregman, what's up?
That's some whole ass shit, man. I saw the game on Saturday. They even hit him in the elbow.
Yeah, bro.
Like,
he
on top
was
of
pissed.
Like,
he looked like he was, ooh. I was mad too. I was about to say,
that's when I texted you, Big Daddy Bregman.
Big Daddy Bregman.
Yeah, man. But you know, I'm just telling y'all this. Astros winning is good for the city, good for business in the city. And it's good. Like, you see how everybody's happier. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a different environment that you have. And hopefully the Astros are looking, you know, good. Yeah. And then the Rockets, they're looking good too, you know. Right. So, and then Texans are starting to get on the winning roll. So that's pretty good. And we're building on that. So, hey.
The U of H definitely.
Yeah, U of H, man. They I'm going to tell you, man. The city is in a good place sports-wise, man. We're doing good, man. So big ups to everybody that's involved in that, all the players, athletes, man. You know, hey, I'm going to shout out to DJ Reader, defensive tackle. He's going to take – ooh, man, y'all see Clowney doing that tackle?
Oh, yeah.
That dread?
Yeah, he pulled him down by his dread.
Hey, but
I thought
what?
That would
and
be like a horse
bad.
Collar or
nah,
something. That's not.
That's part of the jersey
it's
now.
It's part of the uniform.
Your head,
yeah,
you're part of the uniform. Yep.
Yeah, because that's what
– at first I thought he horse collar.
I thought so too.
I was like, fuck. And then – I saw him help him up, and I was like, wait.
But he was laughing, too, man.
Bro, it was one dread.
One dread
out of
everything.
One fucking dread. Not all of them.
What if it yanked out?
It happened before.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
What did the player say? He was mad?
Because he helped, because it wasn't on purpose, man.
Yeah, he was kind of like.
Yeah, Clowney picked him. Because Clowney got dread, so I'm sure he didn't got his fucking
Clowney was laughing. Clowney was laughing, and he felt sorry for him and picked him up. You know, it was kind of like good sportsmanship. You know,
yeah,
it wasn't
that's good, man.
It was, but like you can even see Clowney laughing when they were looking, because they kept showing the replay on the screens on the Texans stadium, and Clowney was looking laughing.
Did you go to the game?
Nah. Man, you know what? I told y'all I was buying a season ticket from my homeboy every season. But then after all this owner stuff happened, I said, I'm not giving my money to him no more. So that's why I don't go to the Texans game anymore.
Right.
And for the Cowboys game, somebody was selling me a wristband to go tailgating for $25. And I was like, $25, you know, when they're like $10 or $15,
free,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not going
to
go and overpay for that. So that's why I haven't been to a game. If somebody gives me a free ticket and everything, I'll go. But I'm not going to pay my money.
They threw me out the game. Remember at the Saints game?
Yeah.
So I could care less.
But
I like the team.
Paul, you can't smoke weed in the stadium. Shit.
Yeah. Hey, the roof was open.
Yeah, the roof was open. And no, for the record, we have smoked in there plenty of times.
I don't know why they kicked
me out. They kicked me out just because they were being some hoes.
They thought I was the one that gave my media credential to Paul to let him in.
They act like I snuck in.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush got me credentials, and then they were like, nah, you can't have these. So why not? They said, well, they're not for you. I said, well, how they not for me? They from Reggie Bush. You got them for me. And they just, nope, you got to go.
Yeah, that Kardashian Bush?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. But you know one thing, though? I'm going to tell you about the Texan Stadium, though. And we were talking about this, and I forgot, but now I remember. You notice now that they play hip-hop inside the stadium. Before, they never played hip-hop.
They would not, correct.
Who's DJing there?
I don't
Maybe T-Grey or
I think GT was sending some mixes in there because they were asking them. Because
I know at the Rockets game, it's GT. I mean,
T-Grey. T-Grey and Johnny J and Cracker Nuts.
But now they got cornbread on the keys in there. Like from beans and cornbread.
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, the real cornbread.
Hey, man.
Real cornbread.
Them boys right there, man, I got love for them because for Cinco de Mayo, they made a beat for G-Man and I when I was working at the box.
Yeah.
He made a Mexican beat. That's beans and cornbread made a Mexican, and they emailed it to us too. That's what's funny, though.
Yeah, now he'll be on them keys. So he's the one to play.
For the Astros or the Texas
Rockets?
Game? Oh, Rockets. Oh,
yeah,
okay. Rockets,
yeah. He just signed, like, I think he signed on like 2 weeks ago or some shit.
That's live.
Yeah, because you remember.
Fertitta, you know we're going to have it.
Do you remember Clean Cut and Baby J from the Cracker? They're the ones mixing when you're going in the game. They're mixing in on the entrance. They're the ones playing the music and everything there.
The concourse level.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're playing music there and everything. So they've been doing that with Johnny J, Clean Cut, and Baby J, so, you know.
That's dope.
Hey, man, you see a lot of people that are known behind the scenes that are, you know, that don't do it and everything, so that's pretty dope. So, but yeah, man, Texans playing hip-hop, and that's awesome because, you know, the players were coming out to, like, when I would go interview them, they'd be like, man, is there any way y'all can say something on the radio? How they don't play hip-hop and everything? But it was the owner. McNair didn't want it. McNair did not want hip hop on there.
What would they play? I don't even fuck.
Country.
They would play country and rock. That's about it. And pop
I mean,
and all that.
We used to go to games, but it got to the point that I was like, man, fuck.
And you know what,
man,
though?
I ain't going nowhere.
I got to say, we got to get Paul, Slim, Bumby, and Houston artists to do the halftime show. That's what we got to do. And big ups to Big Boy from Outkast because he's the one that performed during the Cowboys game. And we won that game, so they need to bring him back.
They had Vanilla Ice perform at one of our halftime games. Was it last year?
They had to bring him back. Something happened. The show got canceled because Kubiak... It was once when Kubiak was having the heart attack or whatever, going into halftime. So he didn't get to perform. So they brought him back for that, and that's when he was doing it. But hey, man, big ups to everybody, man. Big ups to everybody. Support local artists, local business, and everything. Drink more People's Champ beer, and we're out. Peace.